When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Hey, hey, marry me, Takar Chee.
Okay, well, that's settled. That's a little teaser into what we're here to talk about today, and what a teaser. We are going to be talking about Always Today. We have no guests. We couldn't find one worthy of this band. No, yes, one deserved.
Everyone's too PC.
Yeah, in this day and age.
No one's dangerous.
Nobody
enough.
Wants a little blood on their hands.
Canadian dream pop fame.
God forbid you get a little dirt under the fingernails, put in a hard day of work talking about Always.
Oh,
a little
Lord.
Shoegazing, okay? That's what we're here to do. Some people just want to stare at the sky, all right?
We're talking shoegaze, we're navel gazing.
It's going to be, I've been excited to talk about this for a while. And we put it, I saw you posed it as an appreciation of Always on Twitter. I like that. Because I was like, oh, maybe we just talk about the new album, but why not just mix a little bit? We've never just talked about Always before. I mean, other than on the Patreon and like, when I'm, you know, excited about a new song or
yes.
something.
Yes. I mean, you probably could clip together an hour from the years of Patreon content.
I mean, they're the only band I ever talk about.
I mean, let me point out for the listeners that Tom is wearing an Always shirt right now.
One of my three Always shirts. For a long time, I had more Always shirts than they had albums. And now the number's tied up. Although one of the shirts, because it was one of those like off-brand Etsy shirts, fully disintegrated. It kind of worked out because one of the members of the band left between albums and that guy was on there. So it was kind of like a Back to the Future type thing where he started to disintegrate off the shirt. That was me knowing that things were coming to an end.
The least useful like prophecy.
Oh no. I can make a lot of money with this. Yeah, it's we're talking about Always today. That's Alvvays, a name that annoys many, a spelling that annoys many. I personally really like it, although it is when people call them Always, it drives me nuts. Yeah. And I know that if you just saw their name on paper, I fully get why you would do that.
Yes.
But it's you know.
Well, it's interesting because I think they started at the same time around as that movie The Witch, which
yes.
does the exact same thing, mm-hmm, and also mm-hmm. is commonly called The Vavitch.
It's very hard not to call it The Vavitch.
What was in the air that everyone was doing that
I
shit?
Don't know. Yeah. I feel like there's another one, too. Who did we see in Central Park?
Oh,
fuck.
No.
What is their name?
Well, that's Chverches.
Chverches, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Chverches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just putting V's in places they don't belong.
These were going nuts. I think V for Vendetta came out, and everyone was like...
V for Vendetta came out, and then people were like, in about 15 years, we're going to really...
Well, they sat on it. They didn't want to look too eager.
What was V for... Was that like 06 or something?
That
07?
Sounds right. Yeah, everyone...
I know it really changed my politics for a while. I went all in my anarchy mask bag. God. I want to watch that movie again because I feel like it's got to be laughable at this point.
I bet it's very cringe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a guy, the fact that he's wearing a mask the entire time and he's like romantic with Natalie Portman.
Well, now that it's also the anonymous mask, it makes it weird too. There's that whole thing, you know?
Uh-huh, that's true.
Oh, we are part of Anonymous, by the
yes.
way. We should announce to the people.
We are a big part of Anonymous.
Maybe like the two biggest guys.
Yeah, we're two major voices. in the anonymous world.
We decided to do the voice changer shit.
Yeah, we didn't. We were very insecure about our voices, and that's how it all started. And then we kind of just let the ball keep rolling.
Speaking of that, I did get a comment after a recent show that said, "You have such an interesting voice. You must get that all the time." Like, no, I'm actually taking that as an insult. But
yeah, I'm deciding to take that as an insult. by the way, Tommy was just on my last Good God show. What a time.
That was a great time.
God, one of the fun. Oh, hey, I didn't even hear the door open. My wife has entered the chat.
Oh, shit.
There was my last Good God was on Sunday at Union Hall. Very fun. We're moving to LA and
the whole Good God team.
Yes. Yeah, so we're taking our talents to the West Coast. There was a very fun moment where a friend of the show, Emmy Blotnick, did one of the craziest things. Yeah. There was a couple crazy moments. Yeah. One was Shane Torres wearing a Freddy Krueger mask and doing his normal act.
Doing a Freddy Krueger mask, saying, I'm going to do some new stuff, and then doing old things.
I think he did some of those jokes on the first Good God. Very funny. The mask was truly terrifying. You can go to his Instagram now and you can see him doing it at the Cellar. It's very stupid and funny. But another very silly moment was when Emmy walked in, she texted me. Oh, actually, she texted me the song so I can play it. She goes, hey, I've had this song stuck in my head all day. You know the song I'm Hot Tonight from Scarface? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she goes, oh, well, there's a part where they say, I'm hot tonight. And she goes, all day I've had my head, Tom Takar, which is like such a stretch.
Yes.
It's just three syllables like working out. And I don't know the song. She's like, I was going to play it on stage. And I was like, well, I don't know the song, but hey, have fun. Also, I was like, I don't think most of the people, because I was closing out. So I was like, you're going up before me. A lot of these people don't know who the fuck I am. Like, she thought it was going to be like a whole thing a bunch of Good God fans are coming out to see my going away. But really, that was just an event for comics to come hang out. And the audience was there. I don't know why, because they were kind of weird. I think they were big Krueger heads. She still goes up during her set and she goes, she asks the audience, do you guys know the song I'm Hot Tonight? No one says yes.
No,
yeah. Then she says, you guys know that it's Tom Takar's last night? Good God. And very little fanfare, maybe two claps. One of them is my
wife.
One
of them married to you.
Yeah. And she still, she doesn't do it right away either. She's like, okay, well, never mind. And then she goes about her set for a little bit. And then at the end of her set, she goes, all right, let's hear I'm Hot Tonight. And she goes, at the part where they say I'm hot tonight, let's everybody say Tom Takar. Nobody knows when that part of the song is
coming. I'm Tom Takar. Yeah, it was Spartacus.
Everybody say I'm Tom Takar. No one knows when the part of the song she's talking about is coming because we don't know the song. Yeah. That's, I was laughing so hard because I was like, Amy, here's the series of events. We all know the song I'm Hot Tonight, right? No. And we know it's Tom Takar's last night in town. Who are you talking about? And now let's, at the part where they say I'm Hot Tonight, sing it out. This is the song. It also takes forever to get to the part she's so hoping for.
Yeah, it's not like a call and response. No. It's not like an easy thing to know.
I skip forward here, too. There it is. And that was the part she wanted people to say. That's 40 seconds in.
Well, friend of the show, Caitlin Cook, very rightfully pointed out that it would have made way more sense to go, it's Tom's last night.
Yes. Yep.
Instead of I'm Tom.
I'm Tom Takar, which doesn't rhyme.
And like for a crowd to say, I'm Tom Takar, that's how you celebrate.
Yep. It's so funny. It was a great musical moment, and what a great time. Anyways. let's talk about the very band, because I want to talk about the Canada stuff that happened, but we can do that on the Patreon.
Yeah, and I have a crazy story with the Patreon.
Ooh,
also.
Baby.
Yeah.
Get on the Patreon. $3 a month. You get some bonus episodes. You get to hear this episode ad-free instead of these pesky ads that we barely get paid for anyway. Yeah. So,
well, at least it's every 18 months.
Yes. Well, we shouldn't have agreed to that cycle. We agreed to a 30-year fixed payment.
We got a reverse. It's a reverse mortgage podcast ad payout.
All right. We are here today, though, to talk about the band Always. They put out a new album. We kind of teased it maybe on the Patreon. I was excited for the album, but I was a little bit hesitant to get too excited because the singles they had put out, they've been slow playing this thing. They put out a few singles along the way. And it wasn't that I didn't like the singles. I was just like, you know, I'm having trouble gripping onto these. And it's, I think part of it's their first album I just listened to as a whole. And I had heard Archie Marry Me, but I listened to the whole thing as a complete thing. And I fell in love with it just by listening to it on repeat. Antisocialites, kind of same thing. There are a few songs off of Antisocialites that I really, really love, but it's not an album that I'm like into the same way I am Blue Rev and Always Self-Titled. Those two albums I think are great, but so Blue Rev comes out. I am in Canada, where the very band is from. They formed in Toronto, although they are from what is it, Prince something or other. I can't remember the name of the town they're from. Who gives a shit? But they're based in Toronto. They're from Prince Edward Island. That's it, in Charlotte town. But I was in Canada this week. I throw on this album, Blue Rev, and I go, I'm just going to let this play on repeat. I let it do its thing. I fall in love with this goddamn album. It's so good. Very into it. Your laptop is over here, by the way. Yes. I loved it. I've listened to it probably 15, 20 times since it came out, and I'm all in on it. Yeah. Pitchfork,
8.8.
I almost think that's too high. It's crazy. That's an insane review. That's an insane review. I can't remember what they gave. I know that Always Self-Titled, I'm pretty sure, got Best New Music.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
I can look it up really quick, yeah. But they also got a big profile that I read today that's really good.
In the New York Times?
In Pitchfork.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah.
It was on the front page today, so I don't know if it just came out, but it was a nice read. I would recommend it.
I have not read that yet. I was just reading the Vulture.
So that's where I found out a fact that I messaged you about, yes. Which is that Molly Rankin, the lead singer's dad, was a musician. Mm-hmm. A very popular in Canada musician, part of a family band with all of like siblings, so like her aunts and uncles. Wow. That was called the Rankin family, and uh-huh. He tragically died in a car crash. And yeah. I never knew any of that.
It's like a brutal one too. It's like the type of thing. It's a nightmare where it was like a icy road, and like he.
I think a couple of her siblings were in the car, and like
yeah,
luckily survived,
everybody else, some
crazy,
friends
yeah.
and stuff. They all survived except for him. He went into the water. The icy water, and they don't know if he drowned or it was impact or whatever, but it's very disturbing. And he was 40, and I was just reading about how she made music to like there. Some of the stuff she made is like to honor her dad, and like it's very sweet.
Yeah, we should play a little Rankin Family just because I think it's so interesting.
Yeah,
but also I did look up this. They didn't get Best New Music before. They got debut got 7.6, and Antisocial
really?
Got 7.3.
I can't believe the debut got 7.6.
I think they're like always hesitant now to give a debut.
Yeah.
Best, you know, just like.
I was certain that it got. Maybe yeah. I just didn't give a shit because I loved the. And the thing that got me into Always, my intro to them was the NPR podcast, All Songs Considered. Mm. I think that's NPR. I'm pretty sure it is. They played Archie Marry Me. And I immediately was like, what is this? I listened to it over and over again. And then I listened to the album nonstop. I bought the vinyl. We would listen to it at our old Chicago
yeah.
apartment all the time. It was a Chicago apartment staple. Fell in love with the thing. Wall to wall. We've played songs from it on the show before. How do we want to do? Let's listen to.
I just
want to
play one. Yeah, one Rankin Family song because. So he played the fiddle, and he was just a multi instrumentalist. Yeah. But he was just like an incredible musician, part of a family band. And they played like Celtic-inspired folk, and I was like, this sounds like, first of all, some char shit. Yes. They had all some me shit, too. So this is what they sounded like. This is her dad's band. I don't know if that's him singing, but I think one of the brothers is in the band too, but yeah. they just made like beautiful folk music.
Yeah.
And it's like you can kind of hear it sometimes and always, I feel like.
One thing that's weird, because I was reading about the Celtic stuff and I hadn't heard that before. I hadn't heard the dad stuff, but I found I was reading a profile on Molly Rankin, and it mentioned that she had an EP from 2010 called She that was solo. And I didn't know about that. It's not on Spotify or anything.
It was all covers of the Green Day song She.
That's true. Just over and over again. And different takes. And they're all good. No, she opens it. And I was like, this is weird. Because it opens and you can tell she's playing at a bar that's really chatty and noisy.
Oh,
it's weird. It's just the opening, because the rest of it's produced and like it's clearly in a studio, but the first thing is this live performance, and it's like a weird Celtic thing she's doing.
It must be
like a tribute to her dad in some capacity, or maybe it's just the style of music that from where she's from that was popular at the time or something, because the rest of the album is normal. It's just regular kind of poppy solo, kind of like Sarah Bareilles-y like singer-songwriter shit. And then this opening is this weird kind of like, Celtic shit. I can't find it because it's on YouTube. You guys can find it. Just look Molly Rankin She EP and the whole thing. They have the full EP. It's really good, honestly. I'm going to listen to it after we're done here. Because I was finding the song Who Broke Your Heart's really good. Tricky Fellows is fun. I haven't finished it, but it's a good little time. I fell in love with that first album. What was your intro to Always, Tommy?
Yeah, I don't remember how I heard Archie Marry Me, but that was definitely, I mean, I think that's how everyone kind of got into them.
Yeah.
It's like, I think they mentioned in the Pitchfork thing that it's like an indie rock, like it's a classic at this point, as far as indie goes, you know.
It's a perfect album for me.
I might have heard Ben Gibbard cover it before I heard it. That might be how I heard it first.
Dirty,
I know, which is, I mean, if any way you get into the band, you know.
Cover shit.
Except for the damn divorce payments to Zoe.
Let's go. You owe that bitch money.
I heard you short, Ben. Yeah, keep writing your old divorce albums. Pay up. Starting this rumor that has no way. I mean, she probably pays him.
Yeah.
I'd have to assume.
Yeah. That I can't imagine it's going the other way. I think on She and Him, Playments Alone. is that the name of that two-piece? Yeah. JK, I'm sure, and musically he's made more.
Yes,
but, I have a feeling the star of Screen is making a little more.
The sitcom star, long running sitcom plus movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We used to, but like I said, in our old shithole Chicago apartment, this was a record that would be playing all the time. Tim liked it too. And like when you would come over to play video games or whatever, we would always put it on. It was a great time, great album to put on. And Wall to Wall, great. We've definitely played Ones Who Love You on this show before. Mm-hmm. We've definitely played Archie Marry Me. I'm going to throw on one.
Which was Tom's Wedding, one of Tom's Wedding.
Yes, of course.
Picks.
And we hung out with our friends Rachel and Adam last night. Their walk-ups, like the Bride's walk-up song, was Archie, a cover of Archie Marry Me, and I lost my fucking mind. Very cool.
They did the Rob Zombie cover.
That's true, yeah. It was very disturbing.
Marry me, Archie.
let's play I Love Next of Kin too. This is the thing. This whole album is great. What's the one? Oh, it's The Agency Group I'll play. This song rules.
See, that's why we couldn't have any of these PC people on, because she's an outcast of modern society.
Exactly. I love she said the line she says, an outcast of modern society suffering from a case of sobriety. That's great. That is a perfect Stand By Your Band lyric. And also the line up above that, the I'll admit I've been losing sleep rifling through your toxicology. I love that. An underrated song. Like, I feel like Archie Marry Me gets the highlight of that. Now when I go back, I listen to Agency Group and One to Love You maybe more than Archie Marry Me is just, I've played it so many times and I love it so much, but it's really, the whole album is good. It's nonstop hits. Do you have another first, because I figure
Party Police.
Party Police is a killer.
We do have to defund the Party Police.
Yes. All Party Police are bastards.
That song is so fucking good.
It is incredible.
I don't know if it's like coming from a musical family or whatever, but like they came out the gate with such like cool melodies and like not like the kind of simple stuff you sometimes associate with this type of music. And I don't know, such a defined sound right away. That album is just like perfect.
It's so fucking cool. And just imagine you're sitting in your little office at Pitchfork. And you have the fucking nerve to hear that and go 7.6. Be happy. That's pretty good. It's not. It's not good enough. That is a fucking 10. That album is so goddamn good. It's truly, I put it on. I don't skip shit. I can still just walk around with it and let it play. It's perfect. So that made it a tough follow-up to have Antisocialites. Like, not that it was not great. I love Antisocialites, but the bar is very high when you come out of the gate with Always Self-Titled. And I feel like I know when, and I vaguely remember when Antisocialites came out, I was very much not wanting to compare it. I wanted to like come in hot. I wanted it to be incredible, and I wanted it to be the best. And I still love. I love the album. I remember you being like, "It's not like there was no Archie Marry Me on that."
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of. I think it's kind of what happened to the Strokes too, which is a band they ended up opening for.
Yes.
Where Is This It is just so perfect. That Room on Fire is an incredible album, but once you compare it, it just doesn't hit the same. But
you compare and you got to despair because
that's true.
And I'm so tired of despairing, but it's true. And if it's almost like if you reversed these albums coming out, I would have loved them both, and I would have been blown away by Antisocialites.
Yeah,
I think because like I was. This was perfect timing for me. Like I remember very vividly, on my way to my first date with my wife, I was listening to this album. It was pretty new still. It might have been out for like 2-3 months. It came out while I was going through a breakup, so I was like, it was kind of a perfect time for me to have this album. It was 2017. Must have been like August or something. I can't remember, but. The songs that that hit me from this one, because I do find myself skipping through this album a little bit. I don't listen to like Lollipop. I kind of skip through. Plimsoll Punks was one of the singles, and I thought it was all right, but it didn't quite do it for me.
I think 1 and 2 are great on this album.
Yes. Yeah. In Undertow and Dream Snyder, great. Yeah. Not My Baby was my favorite song, along with Saved by a Wave. And Forget About Life is a great album closer. I think that they're really good at closing albums out. And honestly, I think Forget About Life is a better album closer than Blue Rev's album closer. And I like that closer too. But Not My Baby is a great fucking breakup song. I'm going to play a little bit of it now. Just a good it, yeah, and it progresses song. Really well. It's great, but it's true. The first two songs are really strong. Dreams Tonight is the song I was listening to on my way to meet Antonio.
That was going to be my one pick if I had to pick one. Mm-hmm. My pick to click is Dreams Tonight.
Let's go ahead and hear some of it. Dreams Tonight is a great pop song. It's fun. It's a little lighter, but it's
a lo-fi beat to study too.
Oh hell yeah!
I've been just finding textbooks.
I'm learning so much. So good. According to the Pitchfork review, Dreams Tonight, a live staple since early last year, showcases this slight shift towards synthy melancholy, but for all its insistent hooks, Rankin also analyzes a broken relationship from a wealth of young vantage points, introduces the album's title phrase, and indulges in lovelorn wordplay. The example is so morose for me, seeing ghosts of me writing oaths for me.
That was actually my review of SNL. Lovelorn wordplay. That's what I call a sketch is a wordplay. Yeah.
That was fine wordplaying you did tonight.
Lovelorn.
Lovelorn. Every episode. I read some review of the newest. I haven't watched SNL this season except for a couple of things, but. I did see one thing where they were pissed off that in back-to-back weeks they've referenced Lorne, and it's been very meta. Could be because Lorne is on his way out, and a new Tom Tykar type is going to be the head of
emerging from the shadows.
People are saying, Tom, why don't you get on SNL? I have bigger ideas. I'm going to own the goddamn thing.
Oh, God. Another hour of cult sketches?
We don't know who Trevor Lawrence is.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Viral, by the way.
I can't believe that tweet popped off. Oh, my God. I got the funniest response to it. Before I say that, I was reading this review, and it's funny. I was stuck on the Sunday crossword. Spoiler alert, skip if you haven't finished the Sunday, October 17th crossword.
Well, it's not going to help your streak at this point.
No. But it says, they continue, Better yet, in a similar vein, Not My Baby, an aching and ethereal song that Bum Bums Like the Answer to the Runettes. That Bum Bums Like the Answer to the Runettes, Be My Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a clue this week, and I had never heard of the Runettes.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Very exciting.
Be my baby.
I knew that song. I did not know that was... I thought it was the Rondas for some reason. But now I'm going to be able to check back into my crossword with an answer from Pitchfork. But I tweeted that Trevor Lawrence... I tweeted a picture of him at the end watching the Colts win against his pathetic Jacksonville Jaguars. He lost to the greatest football team to ever be 3-2-1.
Countdown, boys. They did that on purpose.
Yep, they knew this was the plan the whole time. Trevor Lawrence looks like he runs an early level Pokemon gym here, and it is popped off 28.6K likes. Very surprising. I did not think this was going to hit, but I got a very funny response from someone pissed at this tweet, which was, I thought, if anything, no one would care about this. But the one guy who was pissed, oh God, there's too many fucking responses. I'm drowning in these. It's in the like hidden responses. But basically, the guy's pissed off that adults are referencing Pokemon, and
I was trying to think what angle.
Yeah. Here we go.
Mad at that about.
I found it. I want to respond to this because it's so funny to me. He says, "Grown ass men talking about Pokemon and other grown men knowing exactly what he's talking about is pretty pathetic. It must be true that kids today have much lower testosterone levels compared to older generations because y'all are soft." Dog, I was like 10 when Pokemon came out. It was in my wheelhouse.
You
what
remember
you
shit from
about?
Your childhood? Yeah, how low you is your tea?
And look, it's low. How low can your tea go? But it's like, yeah, anybody who knows what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are.
Highly sus.
What a strange criticism. But it made me laugh to be that angry about a Pokemon tweet. Let's move on to the new album. I liked that album a lot. There were definitely some highs. And like I said, the album closer is incredible. I like it just as much as the album closer to the self-titled. It's really, really good. Having said that, Pitchfork is calling Blue Rev the best album.
Like their level up album. Yeah.
They finally figured it out. I love Blue Rev. I don't know if I fully agree with what Pitchfork is saying here, because I think that they were all over the map a little bit. This album did take them 5 years. They lost a band member in the process. They also had a global pandemic happen at them, and they were planning on...
Zoe and Ben got divorced.
There's a lot going on in the world. This whole Olivia Wilde thing. There's a lot going on to think about, but they finally put it together, and they had the help of a Canadian/LA producer superstar what's that guy's name?
Mark Everett?
Yes, yeah. Everett, who was originally only going to do half the album, and then he heard what was happening here, and he said, "I got to get it on the whole fucking thing." And he did the right thing, because it is it's a beautiful, beautiful album. Like I said, we got the singles that came from it were Pharmacist. Was a Very Online Guy was a single too, wasn't it? Like a late single?
It was like a split one, yeah. Yeah. I think the single that was the best was the second single, which is Easy on Your Own,
yes.
Which I think is a standout.
Yes, agreed. So, you want to go ahead and pop on a little bit of that guy?
Fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a fucking banger. That's one I think will be so good live.
Yeah, that's going to pop off.
It's always nice when the band says the band name in the song.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because it's such a common word. That's really funny. I am here. I'm really pissed off. I'm not going to get to see them when they come to New York. They're coming right after I leave, and they're going to be in LA right before I get there. So it's really bad timing. I'm sure that
that can't be a coincidence.
No, they are avoiding my ass, and it's probably because I sent some weird DMs. I did make a desperate play to open for them before they got bigger, but I was on a festival with them, and I was praying that they would be there earlier, but they were incredible. Also, they, I'm sure, did their set and got the fuck out of Denver immediately.
The only festival that let me at is Midsummer.
Why are we so mid?
They said I get to wear a bear costume.
I can't wait to do the rock jump they've been talking about. Surely there's water at the bottom of it. They said it's all flowers for us. Anyways, I was reading about they did a show in Chicago, and somebody said it was really weird and the vibe was bad.
Oh, interesting.
And it was like they said the band was good. Apparently they came out kind of weird, but they said the vibes were really weird. Something that really made me laugh. So this girl was posting and she was pissed off because she said guys kept like touching her, which is obviously fucked up.
Well, there's the big story. You know the story, right?
What is that?
They were in Antwerp in Belgium.
Oh,
and
shit.
Someone rushed the stage and tried to kiss her.
I did. Yeah. I was just reading that. Yeah, which is not right, but Tommy and I do welcome that in our shows.
No.
JK, do not run up and kiss us, but you can come up and slap our little hineys.
Now, if Kevin is with us.
Yes, that is fair game. He made that choice when he agreed to be on the Patreon 3 years ago and not since. yeah, but at this show in Chicago that they just did, there was like moshing kind of to Archie Marry Me, which
That's
is
weird.
So funny.
Yeah.
Like, if you've heard the song or anything from this band, nobody should be pushing anybody at this fucking show. I hate that shit. I am too old for it. It happened to be a mannequin pussy where I just ended up in the heat of a mosh pit because I was like, oh, there's so much space up front, and I forgot what they do. Because I think of this shit as, like, very, like, light. I don't know. I Mannequin Pussy is much harder, obviously.
Yes.
But always, no one should be fucking getting pushed around. And don't touch people, man.
Listen to our buddy from Matchbox 20. To do the opposite.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Hey, it's 3 a.m. Go to bed. don't be pushed around. You might want to push me around, but don't do it. anyways. Another fun story. I think this is about their Chicago show. On the way to the show, their tour bus got sideswiped by a semi.
Whoa!
And it knocked their mirror off. Pretty crazy that they could have. That's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah,
that's very dangerous. Sideswiped by a semi. Pull, and they got pulled over because they didn't have a side view mirror anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah. They still made it to their show. They were an hour 15 minutes late to sound check, but still made it per an insider. Pretty crazy stuff. But I was looking up. I'm gonna save this actually because we should listen to some more music. Because I found some fun. I looked up Always Controversy, and there was a very funny one that I simply must share later. But I have a lot of favorites off this album. Easy on Your Own is so good. Pharmacist, when it was when it came out on its own, I was enjoying it, but it wasn't grabbing me. But with the whole of the album, I love it now. It's really good.
Yeah, I think also the singles sound better in context too.
Yes, 100%. Very Online Guys, fun. I've come. Pomeranian Spinster was the only song that I was starting to kind of skip, and then now I love it. I was listening to it today and having a great time with it. But I think my other, I made a list on, I posted on Twitter. I checked it twice. I just lost it. God damn it. I was looking at the fucking response to this tweet. I
think you had Belinda on there.
I did. Belinda says is maybe my, I want to say it's my favorite right now. I love After the Earthquake. Pharmacist, Tile by Tile is great. Mm. Velveteen is great.
Velveteen, yeah, that's one of the ones.
I'm gonna play a couple of these, but my favorite one right now, it's classic, classic always sound, is called Belinda Says.
That's a great song.
That just makes you want to mosh, huh? You're gonna have this.
Move to the country.
I love that. That song rules. It's yeah. So good. Find Myself Paralyzed. It's fucking great.
That's a great melody and very catchy. I wanted to point out also that the album cover is a picture of her and her dad when she's wearing like a life jacket. She's a little kid. It's a great picture.
There's a set of pictures from that too. That are really
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
That they posted on
it's
their
like very
Instagram.
Stormy behind. Just a cool ass picture.
Very cool picture, and it's like very sweet. And the look on her face is very fun. It's just a great fucking.
And I also think being on the water and with the title, it's a subtle homage to the film Blue Crush about sexy ladies
exactly
who surf.
Exactly agree.
This is the kind of thing that kind of dumbasses don't pick up on.
No, full on dumbasses would never understand that kind of everything is a reference to Blue Crush. And when the Democrats fucking crushed Trump in 2016, that was also an homage to Blue Crush.
Oh, my Lord.
Biden should run on Blue Crush. Make his tour poster the poster, you know, tour posters for presidents, how they look.
I remember I tried to do a joke many years ago about my favorite wave of feminism being the waves they surf on in Blue Crush.
I remember that. What a time. Oh, my God. Let's hear some more music. This is the new album. I want to play a few songs from it. Like I said, I've been listening to it nonstop. At first, I wasn't keeping track of what the song titles were. And then when I was going to make my list, I was like, I want to keep on top of it. So the other song, we've played, six songs now? We usually do that. We switched to four, but this is a different type
maybe
of show.
Maybe give a Velveteen.
Yeah, I want to hear some of Velveteen. Let's hear some of Velveteen. That's a great, great song about a jealous girlfriend. No, very good.
Inspired by Velveeta cheese, of course.
Of course, yes. Yeah, that is, that one's killer. That was the first song to hook me, and then yeah, that and Belinda Says Right Now are the two that I'm rocking with.
Yeah. Well, we should go to the Peanut Gallery just because we want to get a Patreon in before I have to go.
You're right.
Yeah,
good call. We got some comments from the old Peanut Gallery. Real fast, I'll just say the fun fact. The controversy was a waiter at a restaurant tweeted that Always Band came in and ordered mayonnaise with their French fries, and also called ahead and asked if they could have tennis on the TV. That pissed off this waiter. It's like, that's, I think, a pretty reasonable Gordon thing. Babs. Also, it's like, that's a French thing to put mayonnaise, like a French Canadian thing to put mayonnaise on your fries.
I like tennis. Aioli.
Yeah. These are our people, maybe. They seem like great people. And yeah, don't run up and kiss anybody. All right, let's go to the Peanut Gallery. The people who subscribe to the Patreon, get their thoughts guaranteed to be read. I'm pretty sure I did this right, so I hope that it went through. Yes, okay. We got one comment. I posted a little bit late. I think we got one. Nick Steinberg says, they also said this on Twitter, but... I've been a casual listener for a few years, but their most recent album, Blue Rev, made me a fan. I bought tickets to their Toronto show in December, love the guitar-driven dream pop sound, and can't wait to see them play live. That it's going to be a great time.
I got to go get tickets to that New York show.
So I've never gotten to see them play indoors. I saw them at a Chicago festival.
Well, that brings up our first tweet.
Ooh.
From friend of the show, Tim McLaughlin.
What do we got? Oh, yes.
He said, one of the best concerts I've ever seen was at Wicker Park Fest with the friend of the show, Cam Gillette fan. I don't know about friend of the show. Yeah, and host of the show, Tom Takai. After a massive storm in Chicago, IL. They absolutely killed it. Thank you for clarifying what states
the Chicago is in. I do want to say I'm surprised Tim said that because there were some sound issues at that show, and I loved it. I had a great time when they played Archie Marry Me. It was a very fun moment. It was great because they played, it was I think they played all of the self-titled. So it was really great. And they played a cover of that song from Dumb and Dumber that's like a "You Go Way Too Fast," the Primitive song. Oh, yeah. It was very fun. I saw them at Denver Music, like underground. It was like a pre High Plains Fest thing. That was one of the best shows I've ever seen. The sound was incredible, and they played every song I loved. And the Antisocialites had already come out, so they were playing some of that too, and it was awesome. But I've never seen them inside. Did we get anything else?
Mari Offman said, I approve this message. And she put up, she'd done a painting of the Antisocialites cover. That's like really good. So,
that is really good. Wait, let me see how she said the V's here. Okay, for a second, I thought she just wrote a straight up W, which would have been very funny.
Revisionist history. Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, very cool. That's awesome. All right. On the Facebook, we did get some comments. Let's see what they are. Why don't we? It's just a few. Mitchell Potts says, incredible band. Every album is great. And Antisocialites is one of the best albums of the 2010s. Interesting.
Yeah.
I would put it third for me of these albums, but I still love it. Adam Gilbert says, marry me, Archie. Corey Clifford says, rarely does a band double its size of fans with each new album. It's a testament to how consistently great their songs are. True. Raymond Cantill says, best band, love them 1,000 times. Me too, baby. And Pat Sievert says, the new album is so good. I only know Marry Me, Archie before you two talked them up. Now I love the whole catalog. Love that. Love to get some new Always fans on board, and I'm happy to be part of the dialogue. No, I fucking love. I love this new album. I love the band. I'm so psyched.
Yeah, they rule.
They rule.
Three for three.
I don't like that they don't follow anybody on Instagram. Kind of fucked up. They should change that and follow me because I am. I have three of their shirts. So. No, they follow 166 people on Instagram. It's Twitter that they don't follow anybody.
They follow every member of the Arcade Fire. Come on.
Let's go.
Have a good time.
All right, we got to record a Patreon, so we should wrap this up. But I will be in Houston, Texas this week, Friday and Saturday, doing the Riot at Rudyard's. Come on out. I'm doing some other shows around town, too, but those will be the headlining set. So come on out, baby. And I will be also doing an album at the Comedy Fort in Denver. So get tickets to that. I hope that I want that to, or not in Denver, Fort Collins. I'm a dumbass. I'm also be in Denver the Thursday before. Get tickets. Me and Tim McLaughlin are doing a cross-country tour, and we will be November 1st in Columbus, Ohio, November 2nd at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago, November 3rd we're gonna be in Omaha, and November 4th and 5th we will be at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. Get out there, get tickets, come see us. It'll be a good time. Tommy, what you got?
I'll just keep plugging my three big dates. We got New York Comedy Festival, me and Luke show, November 13th. We got Christmas Man, my new Christmas show, December 15th. Christmas Boy is Dead.
Oh, no.
And January 12th, my special recording at the Bell House. So come to those. And I'm going to be trying to set up some dates in getting that hour ready. So I'll be announcing stuff soon in other cities.
Go see Tommy. Get on the Patreon. Keep it crispy. Bye.